Good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I'm going to ask you to take out your songbooks and turn to number 24. Your regular songbooks. Turn to number 24. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we've been looking Sunday mornings at what it is to be blessed. Psalm 1, beginning there in verse 1, tells us that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that he does not stand in the path of sinners, that he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, the God mocker. Those three things he does not do. Instead, he delights in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night, verse 2, that he is planted like a tree by the rivers of water, that he is fed constantly. I love this song. It's one of my favorites. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And it repeats itself in the chorus that way. I want you to notice here in 1 John 5, beginning in verse number 6. Notice what John has to write. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified on his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We think about the responsibilities that we have of being a child of God. The responsibilities we have if we follow his word. What that blessing leads to. Because we have done what his will says, there's something that awaits. That blessed assurance. That's what we see there in verse 13, right? That's always what we think of, is that we can know that we have salvation, meaning on the other side of that, we know that we, whether or not we do. If we don't have it, we know it. We're not going to be able to fool ourselves. You're certainly not going to be able to fool God. Jesus came by water and blood. Not only by water, but by water and blood and the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Again, I would invite you to think back to the song that we sang. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, when I was a kid, I can remember my grandpa's wallet was this thick. And he needed a brick, I think, on the other side of his rear end in his truck seat so that it kept him on an even place. Otherwise, he was significantly tilted, right? You know, it wasn't filled with money. It was filled with photos. We all know it, right? We all know what that looks like. This past Saturday, not yesterday, the week before, I was in Waynesville at a lectureship, and I ran into a brother by the name of Randy Carr. And Randy, his grandson, Brendan, I love Brendan. He's a great brother in Christ. He's a great preacher. But he said, I just got back from Memphis where I got to see Brendan. Have you seen his new baby? No, I haven't. Well, let me pull out my phone. Right? That's the new one, right? It used to be the wallet, and out falls this, all the pictures, right? Of all the grandkids, or in his case, great grandkids. And they gotta pull it out. You know what they're gonna say? These are mine. Mine. I know a lady right here who at times she has to do, yes, he's mine, because of the things that I do. But I have kids who walk up and they say to me, you're Gavin's dad, or you're Addison's dad, or you're Dalton's dad. And yes, they're mine. They're mine. You understand? I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. Do you see how this song starts? Blessed assurance, Jesus is yours. Is that what it says? He's mine. Meaning that I have no problem telling you who I follow. I have no problem telling you that he is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Notice these words. Keep your finger here at 1 John 5. We're coming back. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, notice, children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be, notice, glorified together. That foretaste of glory divine, where do I have to be? Well, I've got to be in Christ. I've got to be in Christ. Do you notice there? The Spirit himself bears witness. This isn't some fancy feeling that we have. The Spirit Himself bears witness. That same witness that we just read about there in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 6 and following, that same witness, He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And notice, if children, then heirs. We get to be fellow heirs with Christ. That's the foretaste of glory. That's what is to come. Knowing that as a child of God, there is an expectation coming when this life is over. If I live my life in accordance with His will. Do you see there, if we suffer with Him, we'll be glorified with Him? Do you see and understand that Jesus is mine, and that some people, they think that's a great thing. Other people, they don't. In fact, they'll make fun of you. There are places in this world where they will take your life for saying that. We don't get to back down. Instead, we have to stand firm. Because the Spirit bears witness. It's not lip service that we give. It's life service that is seen. That I get to be an heir of salvation. That's what verse 17 is talking about. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Fellow heirs with Christ. That I'm an heir. That there is something. There's an inheritance that is waiting. And it's not here. You can work as hard as you want. You can get as much as you can get. You can do whatever it takes to get all the material, physical things. They do nothing for you. They will never get you to heaven. I have to be a child of God. And I have to bear fruit worthy of Him. I have to live a life that demonstrates Jesus is mine in order for me to have that type of assurance. There's the responsibility to have. That's what God expects of me. Go back, please, to 1 John chapter 5. You think about these words. That Jesus, in verse 6, came by water and blood. The Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is truth. You see that threefold witness in verse 7? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The same thing that we read in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came in the flesh, born just like you and I, flesh and blood just like you and I, that He sacrificed Himself upon the cross for you and I. When we think about all that He did, go back to 1 John chapter 1, He talks about that word too. 1 John chapter 1, beginning there in verse 1, So John the Apostle, that which was from the beginning we have seen and heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning, notice, the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your, notice, joy may be full. That's what blessed assurance looks like. Because you can have fellowship with God the Father. We can have fellowship then with one another. But our fellowship with one another is only because our fellowship first started with God through His Son, Jesus. We have that in common. We can be an heir of God. We can be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Fellow heirs. That we can go and we can spend eternity in heaven with Him. That's what blessed assurance looks like. We live it every single day. Others are able to see Him living in us. And you think about how He is born then. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, that these agree in 1 John 5 and verse 8. Look with me at John chapter 3 and think about these words that Jesus would tell to a man named Nicodemus. John chapter 3. A ruler of the Jews, this man comes to Jesus by night. Don't get hung up on that, please. It's just the time of day he came to him. We don't have to dig into why, because we aren't told. What we do know is this. He came to Jesus. And he tells him, no one can do what you do except they be sent by the Father. And in verse number 5, Jesus says to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, they can't enter the kingdom of God. We think about that third piece, that also you have the blood. Go with me to Revelation 1 and look at verse number 5. All of these, notice, agree. They're on the same page. They all say the same thing. They all teach the same thing. Revelation 1. Notice verse number 5. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. These three agree because the Spirit, the water, and the blood are necessary. His blood being shed on our behalf, water that we are commanded to be immersed, buried in, to come into contact with that blood, to be right with him. Jesus is mine. That foretaste of glory, the heir of salvation, the purchase of God. Acts chapter 20, notice verse number 28. Acts chapter 20. Notice verse number 28. I think about these songs, and sometimes it would seem that at times we go through the motions, we sing them. But we really need to think about the things that we sing and the things that we are saying. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul to the elders of Ephesus. He says to them, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, notice, which he purchased with his own blood. Purchased by him. Purchased by that blood. That same blood that washes us clean of our sins. That same blood that Jesus shed upon the cross for you and I. That same blood that we can come into contact with and be made whole with washes us clean. You see, when you think about this song, and again, I will tell you, it's one of my favorites, that blessed assurance that comes, that I can know that I have eternal life. At school, you can go back to 1 John 5. I want to show you something in verse 13. At school, I have a habit, I guess, and I didn't realize much of this habit until later. But I have this habit. I will ask the students, do you understand? Okay? Do you understand? And evidently I get loud about it. I get excited. I'm excitable. I know that. But I want you to notice in verse 13. That word no, usually we think about 1 John, and we think about that word no, and you think about the Greek word gnosko, or even epigenosko. That is, man, that's, to describe that word is, it's like that lady right there, young lady. She knows me better than anybody else. I know her better than anybody else. You understand? That's the type of knowledge that John in 1 John chapter 1 talks about that they had of Jesus. That epigenosko. The word know here is oida. And it means to understand. So I'm going to use that from now on to say that this scriptural, do you understand? So I'm going to use it from now on. Anyway, Brent knows because he hears me. Even with his door closed, I can be loud. But to know, meaning to understand. So I want you to think about this with that word in mind for just a second. Go to 1 John 5, look at verse 13. Notice what he says. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, understand, that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you realize what he's saying? You can know, you can understand that you have eternal life. You can have that understanding. You can come to that conclusion. You can have that knowledge to know that you have eternal life. I think about how great it is and how joyful it is to be a child of God, to be a Christian. But and it's a great thing. I'm not in any way diminishing that. But do you understand how great it is to know that your eternal abode is going to be heaven? That you can know that? I don't know that we walk around that way. I'll speak about me because I get in less trouble that way. I don't know that I always walk around that way. That I know where I'm going when this life is over. Now, there's conditions. I've got to stay true. I've got to make sure that I do my part. That I live for Him every single day. Do you understand that assurance? That's what we're singing about. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. That's what I get to be. Purchase of God because He bought me with His own blood. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. You go into that chorus. This is my story. This is my song. We talked about this morning in Bible class. Colossians 3 and verse 16. We go there because we sing. Right? That's the command we have. Sing in a worship service. But what do we do in it? We teach. When I met my wife, I wanted to get to know her. And I asked all kinds of questions. Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? What do your parents do? I probably didn't know the answer to that question right away. My father-in-law is a mortician, okay? So, anyway. And evidently, crematoriums owe him favors. So, there's that too. But I didn't need to know everything about her right away. But I wanted to know. Let me ask you this question. Somebody wants to know about you. Again, I'll use me. You suppose somebody should have to ask me if I'm a child of God? Or if they know by the way that I live my life that I'm a child of God? And I can't wait to tell you about it. I am excited to be a child of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story. This is my song. Let me teach you about Him. Let me tell you about Him. I'm praising Him all the day long. Do you see how that chorus repeats itself? This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. That's all day, every day, that's who I am. I'm a child of God and I have blessed assurance because of who I get to be a part of. I get to be a part of His body. I get to be a part of His church because He's the one who purchased me. He's the one. I didn't do it. In fact, there's nothing I can do to merit salvation, but it doesn't take away my responsibility to live for Him every day. See, I have to demonstrate that faith in Him. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Not the word of Corey. The word of God. But do you understand that if I'm living that every day, I can help my brethren increase their faith. That I can help somebody who's not in Christ to understand what it is to be in Christ. That I can help them begin that because of my story. Because of this right here and how I live my life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And it causes us then to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I have to believe in Him, not me, Him. That belief causes me to have godly sorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Paul talks about two types of sorrow. Godly sorrow leading to repentance, which leads to salvation.
not to be regretted. Nobody's going to be sad about going to heaven. Sorrow of the world produces death, eternal condemnation. I've got to have godly sorrow. Not I'm sorry I got caught, I'm sorry I ever did it. Sorrow. So that I can be right with God. I believe in Him. I have that godly sorrow leading to repentance. Jesus in Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5 says, "No, but unless you repent, you shall likewise perish." Unless you repent, unless you change. Change of mind, change of action in life. Different. That turning. And I repent of that lifestyle that I lived, or those things that I did that were contrary to Him. I don't do those any longer. Instead, I live for Him. I'm willing to confess His name. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Jesus there says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven." In verse 33, He says, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." I can't think of anything greater than that confession, and nothing scarier than to be denied. But see, I confess Him not just with the mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, but with the way that I live my life. That's that confession Jesus is talking about in Matthew 10. That my life is demonstrated in service to Him. That my faith is shown and lived out. Not just by what I say, but by what I do. My life is shown. And I've shown that willingness then to submit to His will. Where I come into contact with His blood in that watery grave of baptism, I'm buried. And I believe that behind that old man, I believe behind every sin I ever commit, and I come up out of that water new, a new creature, new creation. And I walk faithful unto death. We think about that being buried with Him. We looked at this morning, but turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. It's where we see that we change location. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26. Paul writes, "For you are all sons." There's those children that we read about already in Romans 8. "You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You change location from outside Christ to in Christ. That occurred when I was obedient. And I obeyed every step of the plan of salvation, including being baptized for the remission of my sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. I went from outside Christ to in Christ. And now my responsibility is faithful unto death. Revelation 2, the last sentence of verse 10, Jesus speaking says, "Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life." That's what He can't wait to do. To give you the crown of life. When you rise to walk in newness of life, you know what you have? Blessed assurance. Yeah, blessed assurance. You have a home in heaven awaiting you, because what you have chosen is to live faithful to Him for the rest of your life. If you don't have blessed assurance, then there's something that you need to take care of. If you can't sing that song and be honest and truthful about it, then there's something in your life that you need to change. Tonight, maybe you need to become a child of God. Or maybe tonight, as a child of God, you need to get your life right with Him so that you can have that blessed assurance that heaven is your home when this life is over. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.